Your Financial Choices may discuss various financial-related topics and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA. We inform you that any federal tax, state tax, financial advice, or information contained in this communication is not intended to be personalized or specific in nature, or to be relied upon for your personal situation in any circumstance. The advice and information are not intended and cannot be used as a tax opinion letter, nor used for the purpose of avoiding tax-related penalties. For personalized advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I'm a CPA, CFP, and AEP on the web at yourfinancialchoices.com. And you can listen online each and every week at wdiy.org. And podcasts of prior shows are also available there under local programming, Your Financial Choices, with all the various topics that we've covered over the years. Today is June 5th, 2019. The markets were up today, the Dow closing at 25,539, the NASDAQ at 7575, and the S&P at 2826. The topic tonight covers Social Security. We are live tonight. We will take your questions. Judy Ann is in the studio with us this evening. We'll answer your calls, take your information, and we ask you to mute your radio so you can hear me without the delay and we can talk without confusion. That's if you're talking live on air with me. If you're more comfortable not talking live on air, you can just give your question to Judy Ann and she'll write it down and bring it in to me. We do discuss general financial planning topics and not specific investments. And while I typically have a topic each week, you can still ask questions off topic and I will do my best to answer them. The number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. Email is also available at yourfinancialchoices.com. As I mentioned, the topic tonight, Social Security. And I really just kind of want to talk about it in general. And if there's questions, I love questions. You can call in and ask, of course. I thought it would be important to talk about some terms that we use in Social Security or that you hear in Social Security from time to time in articles you may read, maybe if you're talking to Social Security on the phone or in meetings, you might read articles about it. So I thought let's lay out a few of the terms. And then I just kind of want to pick and choose some various topics around Social Security, a little bit about the earnings test, maybe a little bit about benefits and filing strategies and options that people have, especially and particularly couples, married couples, and see where it goes. Also, I have an article on Social Security and Medicare Trustee Release Annual Report by Elaine Floyd of Horse's Mouth. Horse's Mouth puts out a fantastic program and information for financial advisors called Savvy Social Security, which I use. And it's really a great tool to help folks understand what options they might have in filing strategies. So we'll talk about some of the information and her insights into where she sees Social Security going. So first, let's talk about some of the terms. There are studies that will show that there is not a great understanding of Social Security. So that's why I thought it's important to talk about this. You might hear people talk about my retirement age, and the retirement age can mean many different things. I've mentioned this before on the show. But for Social Security, typically, the ages we're looking at could be anywhere between age 62 and age 70. So filing strategies typically could be anywhere between age 62 and 70. Also, if it is a widow, we could be looking at age 60. If you're a widow with children, it could be even younger children, young children, if your spouse has passed away. So disability benefits different. So basically, I'm going to probably stay in the realm of 62 to 70. But one of the things that is very important to understand when you're thinking about Social Security and the benefits that you are eligible for, a couple terms, FRA and PIA. And FRA, is full retirement age. And the full retirement age can vary depending on when you were born. So full retirement age used to be age 65. And then several years ago, they modified that. And it, in hopes of kind of helping bolster the funding of Social Security in the future. So they probably will continue to make changes as longevity increases. The Social Security system will have to adapt as we become older and older and people are living longer and receiving benefits longer in order to make sure that the system continues and is there for people in their retirement years. Recall that Social Security, it was not to be someone's entire retirement benefit. It was just to help support people in their retirement. And back when the life expectancy was really almost the age that that people would collect Social Security. All right, so full retirement age is the age at which you can start your full unreduced benefits. And the full retirement age for people born between 1943 and 1954 is 66. And it so happens that 2019 is the year that these folks turn 66, and that's an important age. I've been especially talking about this from time to time on the show because I want to make sure that this information gets out to anyone who's turning 66 in 2019, that you still have a little extra benefit in claiming strategy that is called a filing for a restricted application for a spousal benefit, and that if you're married, of course, and if that isn't going to continue to be available for other folks. So full retirement age for people born between 1943 and 1954 is 66. People born 1960 and later, the full retirement age is 67. So these are important ages for you to understand that if you talk about what your Social Security benefit is and you look at those statements, it's only that benefit number one. If you have that earnings record that they also report on your earnings statement, your benefit statement, if those earnings continue and the assumption is that your earnings are going to continue at the rate at which you last were getting them. So if you made, $100,000 a year in the last 3 years and you're only 55, the numbers they're giving you to estimate what your full retirement age benefit is based on the assumptions that you're going to continue to make that kind of money. What happens sometimes is people will retire early and they don't realize that will take a little bit of a haircut on the benefit that Social Security has estimated for you. So be aware of that. A little bit of a haircut. It depends on how long you're retired. Sometimes people will go part-time. So sometimes people will lose their high-paying job and go to a lower-paying job. You can get an updated earnings benefit regularly if you sign up on Social Security's website, ssa.gov, and you can sign up for and develop your own account, set up your own account, and then you can get your benefit statement. And again, if you have changed your employment status such that your income comes down much lower than what you had been regularly getting paid, you're going to have to wait and see how it adjusts, in the subsequent years. You got to let Social Security catch up with that. So the full retirement age, 66 between 1943 and 54, 1960 and later at 67, and all those years between 1955, it's 66 and 2 months. 1956, it's 66 and 4 months. So those poor people between 1955 and 1959 have to remember which month they have. So it's 66 plus some number of months. That's full retirement age where you would receive the unreduced benefit. What you see on your statement is also an amount that they call your primary insurance amount. And I don't believe they use that term, but it's really an important name, nomenclature, or whatever to know. So when we come back from the break, I'll talk to you about what that primary insurance amount is and what it means to you when you're claiming benefits. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
WDIY offers many choices and real voices.
This is Tom Druckenmiller. Join me and our other folk music hosts each weekday evening from 7 to 9 and Sunday from 11 to 1 for a great mix of classic folk, bluegrass and old time, Celtic, blues and contemporary songwriters, plus interviews, concert information and more.
WDIY is the Lehigh Valley's local source for NPR news, public affairs and diverse music at 88.1 FM and streaming on WDIY.org.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert, and you're listening to Your Financial Choices right here on 88.1. We are talking about Social Security this evening, and we're first going to get out of the way some of the terms, and then we could talk about more of the fun part of Social Security claiming strategies and things like that. So I mentioned the full retirement age is that age at which you can receive unreduced benefits, as Social Security has predicted you will earn based on your earnings record over X number of years. If you get your Social Security benefit statement, your estimated benefits is what it describes, there's a very important page in it that tells you what the numbers are. And for example, it says, if you have earned enough credits to qualify for benefits at your current earnings rate, remember I said they will show you all the years of earnings that you have, and it'll be on your highest 35 years that you're earning these benefits, and they will assume that you are still making at your current earnings rate, okay? So at your current earnings rate, if you continue working until your full retirement age, your payment would be about, and it'll show what it is, and it'll tell you what your full retirement age is. And then it also will show at age 70, your payment would be about whatever. And if you stop working and start receiving benefits at age 62, your payment would be about, and it'll show you that. So in those cases, they are assuming if you're waiting till 70, it'll assume you're working till 70. Now, you don't actually have to work till 70. You could wait to collect even though you have stopped working. So if you're 66 and you want to delay collecting because you've heard that you could get an 8% premium on your benefit each year by delaying, you don't have to continue to work. It's just that when they tell you what the estimated benefit is at age 70, they do assume that it's at your current earnings rate. But remember I said, if you haven't worked for a couple years, they will have already factored that in the number they're describing. So I hope that kind of makes sense. It's easier to understand if you actually have a statement in front of you. And if they describe the benefit at 62, they also have assumed then that you have stopped working at 62. And an example I have in front of me, I'll just tell you kind of the differences. For this person, their full retirement age was 66, and whatever their earnings, I don't have the earnings schedule, but their benefit at 66 was going to be $2,029. If they worked until age 70, their benefit was going to be $2,678. That's a month. So that's an extra $650 a month more by waiting. If they stopped working and started receiving their benefits at 62, their benefit is $1,530. So you see the extreme difference between collecting or stop working at 62 and start collecting versus continue working and waiting until age 70. That is $1,140 difference per month in your cash flow. So it can make a big difference. Not everyone has the option of waiting. Not everyone has the health, the cash flow, the means. So every person's situation is different, and you have to understand the, all the facets of your own financial choices that you have to make. But it's very important to understand the difference. And to the extent that you can wait to collect, obviously you are going to build up a much larger benefit for yourself. So I mentioned FRA, full retirement age, PIA is the primary insurance amount. The primary insurance amount is that amount that they have calculated that you will receive at full retirement age. And the reason that term is important, the primary insurance amount, is because it comes into play for other benefits. So if you are married and there is a spousal benefit available, that primary insurance amount is going to be very important, because if I am the lower earning spouse and I wait till full retirement amount age, I may collect more on my spouse's record. It's called my spousal benefit. If my own work benefit wasn't high enough, I may be able to get a higher benefit on my spouse's record. And if I wait till full retirement age, it's based on their primary insurance amount. In fact, if I collect early, it is still based on their primary insurance amount. However, there is a haircut. So if you are ever collecting early, there is going to be a reduction in your benefit. So if you are someone whose full retirement age is 66 and you decide to collect at 62, or in this case, because 66 would be for people born in 1953, if you had collected at 62, you would have taken a 25% haircut on collecting early. If your full retirement age is 67 and you collect at 62, you're taking a 30% haircut. You're only going to get 70% of your primary insurance amount. That's why that primary insurance amount number is important, but that number is typically what you would collect at full retirement age. But if my spouse collected early and I waited until full retirement age to collect my spousal benefit, first of all, my spouse would have had to have already filed. I can't collect a spousal benefit until my spouse files. And if they have filed, but I wait until full retirement age, then I will get half of their primary insurance amount. If, however, my spouse has filed and I file before my own full retirement age, then I'm going to have a haircut on that primary insurance amount. I'm not going to get half of the primary insurance amount, as I said, a spousal benefit would be if I waited till full retirement age. I'm going to get less than that, and it depends on what age I collect that. Now, one other thing I want to mention, because I said it could be between age 62 and 70 in most cases, it doesn't mean you have to pick or collect at 62 or full retirement age or 70. You can file at any time during those ages. It could be at 63, it could be at 64, it could be at 65, 66, 67, it could be 67 in 1 month, 2 months, 3 months. So I have had folks who have told me, I want to wait until age 70 and get the advantage of that 8% premium each year. And time goes on, maybe their health changes, cash flow needs become a concern, or they've listened to someone, you know, in the media or their advisor who tells them, oh, Social Security is going to be gone, you've got to collect now. So they change their mind. They intended to wait till age 70, but they decide to collect a little sooner. And that's fine. They can do that. So you have some decisions that you can make as you go along the way. One of the issues you have to keep in mind if you collect early is that if you do decide to go back to work, there is something called the earnings test. And if you collect early before full retirement age and then have part-time income or full-time income over certain thresholds, then you're going to have to pay back some of that Social Security. So if in your mind you think, hey, I'm going to collect Social Security and then I'm going to go get a part-time job and then I'll be great, I'll have this all covered. Well, we're going to have to talk about that a little bit, because you might not have it all covered if you thought the part-time work plus the Social Security was going to cover it. And then, whoops, you made a little more than you thought and Social Security pulls back some of the benefits. So we'll talk about the earnings test as we go through the show a little bit. I will, after the next break, come back and talk about a few more acronyms. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
American folk music offers a variegated pattern of performers and styles. I'm Tom Druckenmiller, your host for In the Tradition. Together, we'll trace the roots and branches of American folk music from the earliest recordings and performers through today's talented players. In the Tradition, Wednesday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. on WDIY 88.1 FM and WDIY.org.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices, and tonight we're talking about Social Security. And some of the terms that we have, some of the information that you have to pay attention to. Before I talk about the earnings test, if you collect early on Social Security, I just want to go over a couple other terms real quickly. And one, if I have time before the end of show, in a little bit more depth. COLA is the cost of living adjustment, and Social Security will make annual cost of living adjustments if it's deemed to be necessary. There were, two or three years in the past, couple decades where it was zero. Many years ago, it even had gotten as high as 10%, but they did just raise the cost of living adjustment. Social Security was 2.8%. What happens, though, is sometimes people don't always see that full 2.8% increase in their monthly deposit in their bank account, because there's also the Medicare premiums. Typically, if you're 65 or older, you will have those Medicare Part B premiums coming out of your Social Security. So if they increase the cost of Medicare, they've given you a cost of living adjustment on Social Security, but the cost of Medicare goes up as well, then sometimes you don't get that full, the full 2.8% increase. The other thing that sometimes happens is there is something called IRMA. It's the income-related monthly amount adjustment, and that kicks in if your income kind of in the 2 years prior. They look at your tax return from 2 years prior. If your income was over certain thresholds, they actually charge you extra premiums for your Medicare Part B and Medicare Part D, and that applies to both spouses if there's two of you getting Medicare. So unbeknownst to you, you might not have even been aware of that, because they didn't used to have it. I don't know when they started doing that. It might have been, I can't remember how long ago. But several years ago, they started implementing this income-related monthly amount adjustment on Medicare premiums. So again, while your Social Security benefit might go up 2.8%, if your Medicare premiums naturally go up each year, but then now you have an extra charge because your income went over certain thresholds. Married filing joint, off the top of my head, I know the first threshold is $170,000 of income. So, and that's adjusted gross income. So, and plus tax exempt income, I believe there's a couple little adjustments to that. If it's over $170,000, then you're going to have some extra premiums on top of your regular monthly premium. So you may not see the full cost of living adjustment on that. All right, so that's 2.8, and that was another term I wanted to cover. So we talked about FRA, full retirement age, PIA, primary insurance amount, COLA, cost of living adjustment, and IRMA, the income-related monthly amount adjustment. Other just quick terms, and this is how I had to, when I first started kind of learning more about Social Security, this is how I had to keep track of it in my head, because there's a number of benefits. Aside from a disability benefit, if you've earned enough credits to qualify for disability and then you become permanently disabled, there is a disability benefit. But outside of that, the normal benefits, we have, in my mind, you have to say to yourself, I have an earned benefit. So my own benefit is my earned benefit if I have worked X number of quarters. And frankly, I can't remember the number of quarters off the top of my head. But if you've worked, I think it's like 40 quarters, then you will earn your own benefit. If you've only ever worked a tiny little bit, then it might be a small benefit, but you still would have something if you've earned enough of those quarters. So that's the earned benefit. You have a spousal benefit. So if I never worked and have no earned benefit, but I'm married, I will qualify for a spousal benefit on my spouse's record. So that's a spousal benefit. And then there is a survivor benefit. So it's important to sometimes know that kind of framework so that you understand what benefits would be available to you. The earned benefit, kind of on your own work record. The spousal benefit, if you're married. And even if you're divorced and were married before, I think you had to be married 10 years, you can collect on a ex-spouse's record as well, as long as you have not remarried before age 60. So there could be a spousal benefit, and you could have a spousal benefit actually on more than one spouse too. And then the survivor benefit. And the survivor benefit is really a benefit that we have to plan for when we're doing financial planning for couples in particular, because the survivor benefit, what we typically want to see is the highest benefit available to the survivor. How do we get the highest benefit available to the survivor? Well, we may be strategic in our planning and who is claiming Social Security when. So if I have a higher earning spouse who has a higher monthly benefit under Social Security, I may want them to wait a little longer to increase their benefit, because if they were to pass away, that is going to give the survivor a higher benefit than they otherwise would get. So if you have the higher earning spouse who retires at 62 and says, hey, I've worked for this, I'm going to get my benefit, I'm going to collect now, and they had the highest benefit, and the lower earner spouse, you know, was going to wait to file because they know the benefits of letting that benefit grow, the survivor benefit might not be as high as they could have had. Now, again, we have to balance this with cash flow needs, health considerations, and people's trust that the Social Security system will be available for them. People who are very nervous about that and think it's not going to be available may be collecting while they can get it. But you have to understand, if in the future there's some discount on benefits that that's what people are afraid of. They're afraid that they're going to, you know, take away some of their benefits, 15% of their benefit or 20% of their benefit. Well, my thought is, do you want 15% less of a lower benefit or 15% less of a higher benefit? Because if they're going to cut some of the benefits available, do I want it from a higher number? So there's a lot of things to consider here. So you really have to sit down, you know, with a planner or your advisor and your spouse, if you're married, to make the best decisions for you and your circumstances, considering your health, longevity, cash flow needs, what other assets or resources you have available during the period of time that you forego collecting Social Security. So got to keep all that in mind. Now, remember, I said in my story that if someone retires at 62, they say, hey, you know, I'm going to retire. I want to get, you know, I've worked hard. I want to get my benefit. But they know they can't quite make it on that reduced benefit. So they think, well, I'll go work and then I'll get my Social Security and my work will give me the cash flow that I need. There is an earnings test if you file for your benefit early, before full retirement age, and you're going to have to pay back some of those benefits. And the amount of earnings that you can have without having to pay them back is $17,640 if you're under full retirement age. $17,640. If you go over that amount, you have to pay back $1 for every $2 over that benefit. In the year of full retirement, They give us a little bit more flexibility, and I'll talk about that when we come back from our middle break here. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
WDIY 88.1 Allentown, your current temperature in Lehigh Valley is 82. Tonight we're going to have showers, thunderstorms likely mainly before midnight, patchy fog after 11 p.m., low around 66. Thursday is going to be a chance of showers and thunderstorms, also possible after 2 p.m., sunny with a high near 82. Thursday night, partly cloudy with a low around 59. Friday, mostly sunny with a high near 81. Friday night, low around 58. Saturday, mostly sunny with a high near 82. Saturday night, low around 58. And for your Sunday, it's going to be mostly sunny with a high near 81. And for Sunday night, it's going to be a chance of showers, mostly cloudy with a low around 62. Now, back to your financial choices with Lori Siebert.
Thank you, Shandi. So we are talking about Social Security tonight. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. There's usually lots of questions about Social Security, and if you have them and you're not comfortable talking live on air, you can always give your question to Judy Ann. She'll write it down and bring it in to me. Or you can send questions through the website yourfinancialchoices.com. And that number again is 610-758-8810 or yourfinancialchoices.com. So the earnings test threshold. So if you collect before full retirement age, the earnings test is if you have wages more than earned income. It could earned income could be self-employment income as well. If it's over $17,640, then you have to pay back a dollar for every $2 over that amount. So at some point, if you make too much more over, you might be paying back all the Social Security. Where I see something like this happen might be where someone loses their job and they need the cash flow and they file for Social Security, and then they're fortunate enough to find another job and, you know, lo and behold, they get this job and now they're having to pay back their Social Security. You need to realize that that goes back into your kitty again. So you don't totally lose it. It goes back into the kitty and it could help give you a higher benefit going forward. If you reach full retirement age in a year where you have started collecting, the benefits will be held a dollar for every $3 over a much higher amount, like $46,920. Now, once you reach full retirement age, you can earn anything you want. You could earn $1 million and still collect your full Social Security benefit. So once you reach full retirement age, you can collect all your benefit without having to pay back anything. We had a call come in from Jim. He is from New Jersey. And his question was, if you delay the receipt of benefits over full retirement age, is that 8% compounded year over year? Yes, Jim. Yes. So it's a pretty good deal. Like sometimes you'll look and you'll say, gosh, if I'm trying to secure, you know, my investments and what kind of returns are you getting? Well, that's a real return right now. It's 8% year over year. So it's a pretty good number. I was going to see, let me see if I had an example of what it would look like. I had a presentation I did the other night. Let me give you an example. So in one of the stories, we had someone who was 66 and their full retirement age benefit, their primary insurance amount would have been $2,400 at full retirement age of 66. If they waited until 70, that benefit becomes $3,168. So what happens, Jim, is there's usually like a break-even analysis, like how many more years do you have to live? So you also have to kind of know your own family history, your own health, and what are the chances of you living to that long? But here's the little asterisk that people forget about. It's not only just how long you're going to live, how long is your spouse going to live? Because if you are married, and let's say everyone in your family, you know, passes at 85, and everyone in your wife's family or spouse's family passes at 90, you have not only secured a higher benefit for yourself while you're alive, you've also secured a survivor that higher benefit, because the survivor steps into the highest of the two benefits between two spouses. Okay, so that's a pretty good bump for your money. And again, what happens though is you have to understand: do you have other resources? So, do you have a pension? Do you have investment income? Are there other resources to help get you through that period if you're not collecting Social Security? But it's important to do the analysis. So thank you, Jim, from New Jersey, for that call. So we were talking about the earnings test, and then once you're over full retirement age, you can still collect your Social Security and not have to pay anything back. Here's something I want to mention that I wasn't even aware of until probably the last several months. And that is, once, let's pretend you started collecting at 63 or 62, 63, 64, whatever, pre full retirement age, because maybe you lost your job and you didn't know what you were going to do. So you started collecting Social Security, and then you have a change in circumstance. Back in the day, you could pay back your Social Security, pay it back all, however many years you were collecting, pay it all back. And then you kind of reinstate your benefit to start, you know, growing again from that period when you were started. Then they changed it, and Social Security said, we're not going to do that anymore. You can't pay back all those years, but we will let you change your mind within 1 year, and you can pay it back within 1 year, and it's as if you never filed. That's all well and good. I've only had a few people do that where they've paid it back. There's a little complications to it sometimes, you know, on your tax return and how you claim the income and, you know, different stuff. So it's complicated. I'm not going to get into that right now. But you might have filed, and then you maybe you got married and your new spouse is loaded, or your new spouse is younger than you and they're making tons of money and you wish you wouldn't have filed because you don't really need the money anymore. Well, once you reach full retirement age, you actually can suspend then. You can stop it. And this is something I never knew. So if you were collecting 62, 63, 64, 65, 66, whatever, and let's say your full retirement age is 67, you actually could suspend your benefit at your full retirement age, depending on when you were born, at your full retirement age, and let your benefit continue to increase at 8% a year. But it increases based on the benefit where you stopped. It doesn't go back retroactive to from when you first started or what your PIA amount would have been, your primary insurance amount. It'll start from that period of time. So that's just a little note. I saw that come up in an analysis we had done, and I had never seen it before. So that could actually be interesting to some people. And again, people who still, you know, believe that Social Security will be there for them. So we've talked about the earnings test. We've talked about, let's talk for a minute about this maximum wage base for 2019. What happens with Social Security is we're paying into that system. How they calculate our benefits can be a little complicated, but it's also interesting. And let me see if I can find some information on this quick. Because this formula to calculate the primary insurance amount, they calculate it based on 90% of the first $926 of monthly earnings you have. So 90% of the first $926 of monthly earnings plus 32% of the average index monthly earnings over 926 and through 5,583, plus 15% of the amount over 5,583. So higher earning people get, you know, smaller and smaller slivers of that. So lower, and it makes sense because Social Security is a safety net for people to provide some resources in your retirement years. And so the biggest benefit is at the lower earnings amounts, Okay, so I hope that makes sense. And then, as I mentioned, it's the top 35 years, but there is a cap. So the earnings that we're paying Social Security tax on for 2019 is capped at $132,900. So anybody who's making more than that, at some point during the year, if you go over that, you get a little extra bump in your paycheck because you're no longer paying your share of Social Security. And if you look at your pay stubs, this was a little lesson for my children to look at your pay stub and see the taxes that are coming out, your federal, your state, your local, and then your FICA tax, your old age social disability insurance. So you're paying two Medicare and Social Security is what you're paying. And if you're employed, your employer is paying half and you are paying half. So the amount that we pay is 7.65% together. It's broken up in two pieces. Medicare is 1.45 and Social Security is 6.2. So the 1.45 is going to apply to all of our wages, and that's paying for our Medicare Part A hospital insurance when we retire, when we go on Medicare at age 65. The 6.2% is capped. We don't pay it over that amount, and then that helps with our Social Security benefit. Why is this important to know? The reason I wanted to mention this is because quite often we're hearing about people saying, oh, is Medicare going to be there for us? Is Medicare going to be there for us? Well, Elaine Floyd from Horse's Mouth had written this article, Social Security and Medicare Trustees Release Annual Report. And she had said that when we look at the funds available, what's going to happen if they're depleted? What are they going to be able to do? How might they be able to modify the system? So let me just read a little bit of this article. She says, although the Old Age and Survivors Fund is legally separate from the Disability Insurance Fund, the two funds are usually combined for the purpose of reporting actuarial results and projections. So recently, Social Security and Medicare trustees, they issued their annual report detailing last year's financial results. And so what she said is these two funds are legally separate, the Disability Fund and the Old Age and Survivors Fund. But she said this year, the distinction between the two is important due to surprisingly favorable results for the Disability Insurance Fund. The Old Age and Survivors Fund is due to run dry. Now pay attention to this, because if someone says it's going to run dry in 2034, what do we think? When it says run dry, we think it means it's gone. But that isn't the case. She says the OAS fund is due to run dry in 2034, after which it will be able to pay 77% of the promised benefits. The Disability Insurance Fund will exhaust in 2052, after which it will be able to pay 91% of the scheduled benefits. Okay, so I'm confused when the trustees are using these kinds of terms about exhaust or run dry, because that doesn't sound like that to me when they're still able to pay 77% of the promised benefits or 91% of the scheduled benefits. Last year, the trustees reported that the Disability Insurance Fund would exhaust in 2032. So they went from saying it was going to exhaust in 2032 to exhaust in 2052. 2052. That's a 20-year difference. And part of that was just the, I think how they were investing it and how they use it and blah, blah, blah. So these numbers can vary widely. And that is what Elaine is trying to say. She said for the combined funds, the actuarial deficit came in at 2.78% of taxable payroll. She says to remain solvent over the next 75 years, payroll taxes would have to increase by 2.7 percentage points. Now, 2.7 percentage points on the Social Security that I told you you were paying, the 7.65. Well, I said we're paying 7.65. The employer's paying 7.65. That adds up to 15.3%. 15.3. An increase of 2.7 is 15.1. Something's not making sense here. So 2.7 percentage points isn't a lot, but benefits would have to be cut by about 20%, or some combination of these approaches would have to be adopted. stating the solutions in this way, either tax increases or combination cuts or a combination of the two, lends consistency to the report and facilitates comparisons from year to year. It does not mean that Social Security reform, when it happens, will be so cut and dried. So basically, I think what she's just trying to say is let's not run around like chickens with our heads cut off. There will be changes to the system, just as they did changes several years ago where they raised the full retirement age. So I don't think we're going to see that system go away too soon. Folks, if you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. And when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about some claiming strategies. 610-758-8810. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Not only is becoming a WDIY member a great way to support the programs you love, it has its benefits. WDIY members have access to our weekly member ticket giveaway emails, discover great concerts, theater performances, film screenings, and more, all while supporting the many choices and real voices on WDIY. Make your gift today at 610-694-8100 extension 7 or wdiy.org. Thank you.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices right here on WDIY 88.1. Podcasts of prior shows are also available on either WDIY.org or YourFinancialChoices.com. And you can listen to podcasts of prior shows. I want to talk a little bit about some claiming strategies. First of all, I mentioned 66 years old, and I feel bad sometimes, especially for people who listen every week, because I've been mentioning this so often, but I especially just want to make sure that this information gets out. If someone is turning 66 this year, you still have a claiming strategy available to you that the rest of us who are younger than you will not have available, and that is the ability to file what's called a restricted application for your spousal benefit. The only way you would be able to do this, of course, is if your spouse has filed, because you only can get spousal benefits if your spouse has filed. So where this works is if you have a couple, and you both have earnings records, and one spouse files for their benefit, we used to be able to do something called file and suspend. And one, the higher earner spouse could delay collecting their benefit, let it grow, but they would file, suspend it, and then the lower earning spouse could go in and file for their spousal benefit. Now that is gone, but they kept this little caveat that for people who had turned 62 by December 31st of 2015, which means you're 66 in 2019, if you wait until full retirement age, you have the option of filing for a spousal benefit. If your spouse has filed, you can file for your spousal benefit. It's called a restricted application. You're restricting your application to your spousal benefit, and you are delaying your own benefit. And typically we're doing this for the higher earning spouse, can delay their benefit to get that maximum benefit for themselves and or the survivor. But they're getting kind of like this free money, and your spouse does not have to have been full retirement age. If your spouse has their own earnings record, let's pretend it's $800 they're collecting, and you file a restricted application for your benefit because you're full retirement age now. If you're younger than full retirement age, Social Security is going to pay you the higher of whatever benefit you're entitled to. But if you're full retirement age and 66 in particular this year, you can go in and say, I want to restrict my application, collect my spousal benefit. You're going to get $400 a month for not doing anything. And then your benefit is increasing 8% a year. until full retirement age, or excuse me, until age 70, if you'd like. All right. So that is people who are 66. We had a couple questions come in. Michael from New Ringgold, I think. 68 years old, planning to work to 70. Wife is turning 65 in October and thinking about retiring at 66. Will she be able to collect from mine even if I have not applied yet? No, Michael, she won't be able to do that. When she goes into Social Security, they will pay her the higher of her own earned benefit or the spousal benefit, but only if you have filed. So if you have not filed, she's going to go in and they will pay her her own benefit, because she's not 66 this year. You're not, I mean, if she filed at 65, you're 68, you could actually file for your spousal benefit on hers. So you could file a restricted application. So you said she's still working. She's turning 65 in October. She's thinking about retiring at 66. If she turns 66 next October, you're going to be 69. As soon as she files for her benefit, you could actually go file a restricted application for your spousal benefit on her record and continue to let yours grow at 8%. Premium a year. Okay. But because you're not filing yet, she cannot file for a spousal benefit. And if she files before full retirement age, they would pay her the higher of the two benefits anyway. And if she has her own earned record, then there's some combination if there's also a spousal benefit. But, she would not be able to file on your record if you have not filed yet, but you could file a restricted application for your spousal benefit on her record. That is that free money. So depending on how much money she makes, Michael, if she's working part-time and makes less than $17,000 a year, she actually could file for her benefit and you could file for your spousal benefit on it as well. Okay. I have another question from Robert in Easton. He's physically disabled and getting disability insurance. Can I get both disability and Social Security, or should I choose one? Which would be more? And he is 62 years old. Robert, what happens with disability, if you're saying you're getting disability insurance, can I get both disability and Social Security? So you're 62. I think there is occasionally certain disability plans, if it's literally disability insurance, there occasionally is sometimes offsets. I'm not as familiar with that. You might have to call your disability company if it's literally disability insurance. I thought what you were telling me is that you were actually collecting disability Social Security. If you would qualify for permanent disability through Social Security, you actually get your primary insurance amount. You don't have that haircut amount that we were talking about at 62. So I'm not sure if you would qualify for permanent disability under Social Security, but if you have qualified for disability under an insurance policy, then you may be able to qualify for Social Security disability, and that might be something worthwhile checking out. And then check with the insurance company if there's any kind of offset. I apologize. I just don't know that off the top of my head. If there is an offset, if you are to your disability insurance, if you're receiving Social Security, what happens, once you become full retirement age, I think your disability insurance disability Social Security switches to regular Social Security, though. So disability for Social Security is a decent benefit, and it's not the same haircut that we take by filing early. It's based on your primary insurance amount, I believe. So you might want to do a little homework on that. Robert, but thank you for those questions, you guys. I appreciate that, Robert and Michael. And okay, so claiming strategies. Let me see if I can get some more out here. So we talked a little bit about the restricted application. Love that. Love kind of maximizing a benefit for a survivor. What you really sometimes want to do as you're going through the process of deciding about Social Security, let me just kind of cover some of the areas that I think you have to pay attention to. None of us know when we're going to die, so it's really a guessing game. But what you can do is just use the information that you have available to, you know, based on your family history, life expectancy, mother, father, and then your own health. Quite often I'll have folks tell me, "Yeah, dad died at 70. He was, you know, happy guy, but he liked the drink and he liked the smoke." Well, then his health profile is going to be very different than yours, maybe, if you have always taken care of yourself and you're not a smoker and you're not a drinker. So if dad lived to 70, you know, having those vices, then your life expectancy may be much longer. So you need to kind of play that. Now, this software that we can use will give any number of options. You can have options of both filing early if you're married, both filing early, both filing at age 70. Quite often, if you were both earners, the both waiting to age 70 obviously kind of gives a huge benefit if we project you living to age 90, because that's way past the life expectancy factors that Social Security uses. If everyone lives to the exact life expectancy for age 62 or 66 or 70, then in essence, you're kind of get the same benefit if you live to the exact life expectancy. But what doesn't happen is we don't all live to the exact life expectancy. So there are those of us whose family has, not the longevity, and other families have the longevity, and you just kind of play that game. But on top of that, you also want to make sure, if you have a spouse, that you're planning for that spouse as well, and factoring in your cash flow and your cash flow needs. Quite often, if you're someone who can afford to defer your Social Security benefit, sometimes you have tax opportunities on your tax return, meaning if you have a huge IRA that at age 70 and a half, you're going to have to take the money out at age 70 and a half for required minimum distributions, you could start maybe taking money out early, using the money from your IRA to kind of meet your cash flow needs. That reduces your future pot of IRA money, which would reduce your required minimum distribution later when you now are collecting Social Security as well. Because if I'm taking required minimum distributions out at 70 and a half and I'm taking Social Security, my Social Security could end up being 85% taxable. Social Security gets taxed based on how much other income you have on your tax return. So there might be opportunities to do conversions of IRAs to Roth. There's a lot of planning, you know, opportunities between those ages of maybe retirement and actually collecting Social Security, collecting Social Security or taking your required minimum distributions. So look at those opportunities for planning. I'm trying to think anything else I'd want to make sure I share with Social Security. Get your statement. Go on SSA.gov, set up an account, get your statement, know what numbers you're dealing with. Don't wait until you're ready to retire to decide if you have enough money to retire. Try to do it a little early. Folks who have retired will tell you that. Oh, gosh, I wish I would have done it earlier. I was at a women's summit today, which is put on by the Women's Business Council, an amazing event. It was sold out this year. Put it on your calendar for next year. Lots of inspiring, empowering women talking about a number of things. But two women came up to me today after we had done a little financial panel discussion. And two women came up to me afterwards, both I would probably say in their late 50s, early 60s. And both of them came up to me separately and said, "Gosh, I wish I would have done this earlier. I just think all the time if I had just started earlier." And that was one of my messages to the women that we were presenting to in the panel today, is that we need to be people of action. We should not be of inaction. If you're thinking about doing something, let's just do it. Do your savings. Get that budget going. Empower yourself today, because the sooner we do it, the more savings we can have, the more opportunities we have, the more options we have. Unfortunately, our life is driven by our financial decisions, which we make every single day. And so the more power you have in those decisions and discipline in controlling your own financial course, it's going to give you more power, more options as you move through your financial life. So start sooner and get informed. And I have always said WDIY's listeners are the most sophisticated listeners in the Lehigh Valley. You're all pretty smart listening to this station, which provides great education programs. And I think that's wonderful. So folks, I appreciate you listening tonight. Next week, I am going to talk about what are we teaching our children about finances. Judy Ann, thank you for being here tonight. Shandi, thank you. Thank you, listeners. Really appreciate the calls and questions. Coming up next, we have Tom Druckenmiller with In the Tradition Folk Music. Remember, pay attention, be proactive, not reactive. Make the best of your financial choices and have a great week.